Also, thanks for your service.
Well, now you do.
Which bill is that, Sandy?
I know, I hide it.
1514?
Do you want the minutes too?
I have, but I get sworn in some.
Mike has a sense of humor.
Wondering, people don't recognize it.
Mike's on.
Call the House Committee on Healthcare to order. Sorry we're late. As you may have heard, we were held up on the floor a while. Going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1514A. We'll pause a moment while we're going to get...
Hello, this is George.
Hi, is George Wong there?
Yes, this is he.
Oh, George, this is Sandy Teely serving with the House Healthcare Committee in Oregon. The chair just opened... Hi, George. Is it Dr. Wong?
It is, but really just call me George.
Okay. The chair just opened up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1514A, so whenever you'd like to provide...
Well, in a moment, we're going to ask the administrator to tell us what the bill's about, and then we'll ask you to begin your testimony by introducing yourself. Madam Administrator, what do we have here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1514A came to us from the Senate floor with 28 ayes, no noes, two excused, unanimously out of the Senate Healthcare Committee. The bill permits drug outlets that are participating in charitable prescription drug programs to repackage certain donated prescription drugs for distribution by other program participants. It requires the drug outlet to maintain a separate inventory of the donated prescription drugs received by the outlet and transferred to the another drug outlet. Limits the distribution of the donated prescription drugs received by the outlet from another outlet only to individuals with prescriptions for those prescription drugs, declares an emergency as effective on passage, and it also specifies that this is only applicable to Oregon.
Do we have the paperwork to move it if we want to move it?
We do, Mr. Chair. It came over with no revenue and a minimal fiscal impact, and we do have... The Board of Pharmacy submitted their letter of support, and it, you know, they are not here to testify on the bill, though, but they are in support of the bill.
All right. Would you please begin your testimony, sir?
Thank you, Chairman and members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you regarding SB 1514. I'm George Wong, co-founder and director of Serum, a 501c3 nonprofit born at Stanford University. Our goal at Serum is to ensure that no person skips taking medication they need due to cost. Unfortunately, 1 in 4 people currently do just this. In Oregon, Serum helps long-term care pharmacies donate their surplus medications to charitable pharmacies to help uninsured and underinsured patients. These medications are all unopened, unexpired, and are not controlled substances. In total, Serum operates in 4 states and has supplied enough medicine for 85,000 patients worth over $5 million. We think this bill and amendment is a wonderful opportunity to help even more patients.
That's very powerful and convincing testimony. Does anybody have any questions of the witness? Well, thank you very much for joining us. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1514A. Does anybody have any objections to this bill? Well, why don't we have a motion?
We'll get people outside.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 1514A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hayden moves Senate Bill 1514A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Did I open the work session?
That was what we were just debating.
Did not open
not
the
clear.
Work session. I have to open the work session on 1514A and ask you to do that one more time.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate Bill 1514A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hayden again moves Senate Bill 1514A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Now I'll ask for any discussion from the floor.
Have we lost everybody?
I seem to have lost some folks.
We still have a quorum, don't we?
I still have a quorum, but if they're outside, we'll get them in.
I don't know where they went. I'll be right back.
That's okay.
I don't know where they went. I can't find them.
When they return,
we've got a quorum.
All right. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Bueller?
Yes.
Representative Klim?
Aye.
Representative Pinnemer?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Excuse.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Weitzman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Hayden?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Excuse. Would you call Kenny Geyer again, please?
Wait. Nose. Representative Nose, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Whoa. Just relax.
Yes.
He didn't take over the chair yet.
Who took over the chair?
Me. Would you call Kenny Geyer again, please?
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nose?
Yes.
And Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. Somebody like to carry this?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. She was just on. Nose is why I spoke up. So
I had it under control.
Happy.
President Kenner, would you like to carry it? Okay. We'll close the work session on House Bill 1514A and open a public hearing on House Bill 1503. Can you tell us what we have, please?
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1503 comes to you from the Senate floor with 21 ayes, 4 noes. This bill repeals the sunset on the requirement that an insurer reimburse licensed physician assistants and certified nurse practitioners for primary care services that are reimbursed by the insurer at the same rate that are provided by licensed physicians. It requires the Oregon Health Policy Board and the Department of Consumer and Business Services to collect data and report on implementation to the Legislative Assembly by January 31st, 2017. There's no revenue or fiscal impact on the bill. You have an A2 amendment that sunsets the reporting requirement on February 1, 2017. And replaces current language in the bill, clinical number, with the language clinical identifier. And then there are two other amendments.
You say that was a consensus amendment?
My understanding, Mr. Chair, yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, it's according to mine, it's clinic, not clinical.
Thank you. You're right.
Thank you.
Clinic.
I'm sorry, it's what?
Clinic number.
The amendment.
Right. Change to clinic identifier.
Thank you.
Okay, would you call the first panel, please?
Jen Baker, Elizabeth Remley.
Chair Greenlee, members of the committee, Jen Baker on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association and the Nurse Practitioners of Oregon, here in strong support of Senate Bill 1503 and the -2 amendment. You'll remember in 2013, this body passed legislation that would require private insurance companies to reimburse mental and primary care services based on the code that the provider bills the insurance company under, rather than provider type. And this came as a result of a small group of nurse practitioners and physician assistants working in private practice who received arbitrary cuts from a handful of insurers based solely on their provider and license type, not on the services or outcomes of the services they were providing. I'll reference testimony that should be on OLIS from a nurse practitioner an independent practice in the Bend area, and she outlined some of the benefits that her practice has experienced as a result of the payment parity law you all passed in 2013. She indicates that she has been able to take on more clients, more complex clients. She's hired staff so that she can spend more time with each of her clients, and it's allowed her to spend more time exploring continuing education opportunities so that she can also expand her education and practice in that way. The bill that we passed in 2013 was a multi-sessions conversation and a product of compromise. Part of the compromise included a task force to look at primary care and mental health reimbursement. That task force reported back to this committee twice and recently recently concluded their work with no firm recommendations around the Oregon's payment parity law. They did encourage the legislature to continue to explore broader payment reform, and that is a mission that ONA and NPO are greatly committed to as well. The task force also received an informal audit, which should also be available for you online, from DCBS. And DCBS found that the insurance companies that they audited were able to implement this policy with ease. So with that, we are here to ask that you remove the sunset on Oregon's payment parity law and keep it on the books. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Chair Greenlake and members of the committee, Elizabeth Remley here today on behalf of the Oregon Society of Physician Assistants. In support of this bill, we're happy to be partnering with the Oregon Nurses Association to work in favor of expanding access to primary care and mental health providers in this state. I think all of you, we've chatted over time about the number of primary care providers, especially in rural Oregon, is not enough to meet population demands. We think that anything that we can do to encourage folks to keep their doors open, keep their clinics open, make sure that they can pay their bills, pay their mortgage, and pay their staff to be able to serve their communities is the right thing to do. And so removing the sunset and moving forward with payment parity until which time we don't need it, because hopefully we do end up having a different kind of reimbursement system than the one that we have now, which is fee-for-service. This is an important bill for us, and we urge you to support it. Thank you.
Are you both okay with the Dash 2 amendment?
Yes.
Are there questions in this bill? Thank you very much.
One second.
Hold on.
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Wong? Okay, I want to make sure. Is it still on the phone?
He's gone.
Sorry. Okay. Next panel. Katie King, Adam Maxey, Elise Brown.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Katie King, and I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Psychiatric Physicians Association, and I'd like to speak to the proposed Dash 5 amendments. First, I'd like to thank Representative Kenny Geyer, the OMA, the ONA, and the Oregon Health Authority for their help and input with these. The purpose of the Dash 5 amendments is to look at the policy impact of the bill on the development and retention of the healthcare workforce in primary care and psychiatry, and also to track the number of licensed healthcare providers by provider type in the state and net changes relative to the change in population. It's my understanding that these amendments may trigger a fiscal impact, and there's some question about whether the department has capacity to take this on right now. But if they aren't adopted, we hope to continue the discussion on the healthcare workforce impact in other venues, and we're going to work with partners to do that. Thank you.
Did you hear what level of fiscal they would put on this? We couldn't get it because the systems are all down today.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I wasn't given a definitive number. Again, they were, it's my understanding that they may already have some of the data that we're looking for, and it's a question of position authority, but that's a question that might be better answered by the Oregon Health Authority.
Yeah, but we that's true. We also need to ask for the formal fiscal, which we can't do. My assumption is that everybody likes research, but that we would not want a fiscal that would sink the bill. Yes, please. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question, or I can wait till after the panel.
No, either way.
Yeah, Chair Greenlake. Thank you. I have a quick question. Would your association or board be willing to fund, if there is a large fiscal, an independent third party to do the research?
Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Hayden, that's something that I would need to talk to the organization about. But one thing that they are willing to do is to be a resource in this conversation. And I do think that there are other partners also interested in getting this information as well and studying it. And as to the fiscal, again, they don't have anything definitive, but you're right, it is a capacity issue.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, please go ahead.
Chair Greenlink, members of the committee, Adam Maxey representing the Osteopathic Physicians and Surgeons of Oregon, and OPSO opposes Senate Bill 1503. As written, we believe that we should honor the intent of House Bill 2902, 2013, as a temporary policy, as we came to find a way to comprehensively make changes to how we reimburse primary care in the state of Oregon. As you've heard, the work group was unable to do that in the time they were given, and we understand that is an immense task, and we believe that we should come back together, reconvene the stakeholders, and take a look at this again. With the sunset in place, because it would drive people to the table to make a decision if we don't believe studying anything retroactively could have an effect to come back and make a change. Because reimbursement codes are cost-based rather than outcomes-based, we see this as going away from where Oregon is trying to move in healthcare and transformation and everything we've done, and we would like to see our primary care reimbursement system be raised across the board and find a way for nurses to be paid at a higher wage to practice primary care, because we need primary care practitioners in the state of Oregon, and we would like to see that reimbursed at a higher rate for everyone.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Elise Brown for America's Health Insurance Plans. And like previous testimony, we as a carrier group did oppose the bill in its current draft form. And you've seen for the record, there's some testimony, written comments by Providence, one of our AHIP members, and from Cambia for the reasons that you've just heard. In that with a 2018 sunset out there, we still believe that there was plenty of opportunity to continue a good discussion on broader payment reform. That said, we worked with ONA and other partners on the Dash 2 amendments before you, and we asked that you move those Dash 2 amendments, and that gets our group to neutral. One of the other suggestions that we talked to ONA and partners about was also recommending a data request. We're not here to ask for a fiscal for that, but we hope that there's an opportunity to continue the discussion on data being collected either by the Oregon Board of Nursing or the Oregon Medical Board to determine, as a result of the passage of 2902, how many new clinics have we opened since the passage of that bill. I think that's relevant information for both the payer community and for ONA and OMA. So we hope to continue that in good faith with our partners and ask your support for the Dash 2 amendments. Thank you.
Yeah. OMA. Any questions in this panel? Yes.
Thank you. Would you, from your group's perspective, tell us what the Dash 2 amendment does and why it brings you to neutral?
Sure. So the Dash 2 amendments we worked with ONA on were some technical amendments. With the idea we knew the bill was going to move, we wanted to see some changes made that made the bill easy for us from the administrative side to move. So in the Section 3, it describes a one-time data collection that we agreed should sunset. It's one-time data collection, so delete Section 3. The term clinic number, which Representative Kinnamer just referred to, is not one that we use in processing claims, so we simply wanted to substitute a different name. Clinic identifier is one that we suggested, and our partners agreed. So. Again, those amendments make it easier for us from the administrative side in coding. And again, we would love to see the third piece continue in good faith and discussion. But that brought carriers to at least a neutral point. So we're here to be neutral on the bill.
We'll be hearing from the OMA in a moment. I understand that brought them to neutral services. Well, we'll find out. Representative Buehler?
Yes, thank you, Chair Greenlick. Elise, there's been frequent comments and allegations that the insurance industry has been dragging their feet and changing the payment methodology from a volume-based structure to a value-based structure. Can you address those concerns and the effect it has on slowing the health care transformation?
Chair Greenlick, Representative Buehler, I'm afraid I'm not the right person to answer that question today. I'd be happy to get one of our AHIP members to follow up with you offline. I apologize, I don't have the answer for you at this moment.
Let me ask the question in a different way than maybe some of those. Is there any discussion of payment methodology reform and just not the amount of payment in the
Chair Greenlick, Representative Buehler, there is absolutely that taking place. In fact, it's one of the priorities of the Health Leadership Council, which is comprised of plan member CEOs. That conversation has been ongoing for the last couple of years, and there's plans to continue that.
Surely having at the CCO arena, isn't it?
Can I follow up with it?
Sure.
So why does it take so long? What's the barriers to making that transition in payment methodology? You think that would be, I would think it'd be something the industry would embrace instead of discourage or?
That's because you're from Bend where they're actually doing it.
Thank you, Chair.
That's why it's so easy to you.
Well, I know it can be done.
Chair Greenlick, Representative Buehler, I think I appreciate your line of questioning. We would have liked to have seen that conversation continue. I think the policy in this bill was one that we disagreed in from the get-go. Equal pay for equal work was a policy that we couldn't stand behind. So from that perspective of payment reform,
you want to say that again? You don't stand behind the notion of equal pay for equal work?
Chair Greenlick, we had that discussion when we talked about House Bill 2902, and we got to a point where we could support the bill to have this discussion during the interim, and that's why we're here in front of you today to say.
I thought everybody agreed with the notion of equal pay for equal work. The question is, what's equal work? And I think that's right. a more serious issue. In this. You still? Go.
I would just encourage more discussion, regardless of this bill. I would encourage the stakeholders to continue discussion around payment reform based on the methodology, and let's
put it on our interim agenda and see if we can get some discussions. And
I think so.
May.
Yeah.
You keep that on our list for good. Thank you all. Can we hear from the next witness, please?
Courtney Dresser, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Courtney Dresser for the Oregon Medical Association. And just to put on the record that the OMA is opposed to the underlying policy around the payment parity. We are not opposed to continuing the discussion as you guys have already started the discussion about how we move to more different payment reform models. That's why we like the amendments that collect more data. We think that data is important. So that is where we are right now at the OMA.
Are you neutral to the bill with the dash two amendments?
On behalf of my OMA members, we are opposed to the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Are you opposed to the dash two amendments?
No, we are not opposed to the dash two amendments or the dash fives.
Thank you.
Did you say dash fours?
No.
Fives. No such luck. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 1503 and open a work session specifically for the purpose of adopting the Dash 2 amendments. We're waiting for a fiscal to see what the Dash 5 looks like, but Let's put the dash two on, and we'll carry the bill over till Friday or Monday. Representative Notes?
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that the committee adopt the dash A2 amendments to Senate Bill 1503, dated February 12, 2016.
Representative Notes moves we adopt the dash two amendments to House Bill 1503, dated 2/12/16. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Is there any objection to the amendment? So moved. I close the work session on House Bill 15.
You really want to wait for that fiscal?
03, yes, I do. We'll carry it over till Friday. Or if we, I would suggest we'll carry it over till Friday, but if we need to. Well, let's just carry it over to Monday. That's fine.
We're here.
Let's take Friday off.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You're the best chair ever.
From this committee only.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. You too?
I got the one from 3 to 5 on Friday. Excuse.
She's trying to one-up you.
Yeah, I'm one-upping you.
You can keep yours because I'm not on that one.
You're adjourned.
Yeah, it was fast.
Yeah.